What can I learn from a mom? What can I learn from a mom? Three things I want to share with you. First, it is Mother's Day again. And then I'm going to look into your records of United States of America, because this is in United States of America, Mother's Day. Then we're going to look into the personality of those mothers, and I want to share some of the thoughts my mother has said for me, told me through the years as I grow up, and maybe are familiar to you. And so mothers are really personal, very smart, and I'm going to share that with you. And then Mother's Day is also a scriptural, and I want to show in the reading of God's Word that our brother have done, even though the passage looks awkward, I want to show you the greatness of Salome, what she have done for her children. And you mothers can imitate that from God's Word. Now, you know, Mother's Day is an annual holiday that recognizes mothers, motherhood, and maternal bonds in general, and has been questioned now in the Congress if that is only exclusive of women, but it is. It is of women so far, all right? In the present form, Mother's Day was established by a lady. The name of that lady was Anna Mary Jarvis, following the death of her mother, and that happened on May 9, 1905. Then a small service was done for her mother on 12th of May, 1907, in remembrance of her mother in the Andrew Methodist Church, Methodist Episcopal Church in Crawford, Virginia. That was the first service for a mother. But the first official service was on May 10, like today, May 10, and was in 1908 in the same church. And it was official to for the state of Virginia to recognize Mother's Day on that day. Now, the holiday was declared officially by the state of Virginia in 1910. And followed quickly, on May 8, 1914, the U.S. Congress passed a law designated the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. Now, the fact that the Congress passed a law doesn't become a law until a president established. And that happened later on May 9, 1914, where President Woodrow Wilson established that the second Sunday of May in the territory of the United States of America will be declared Mother's Day. And we thank you for the president to do that and to recall the entire world that God has created those mothers and need to be honored. Now, Mother's Day is very personal for me because I have a good Italian mother, all right? And I want to share you some things personally before we go deep into the scripture. Here is what I learned. Mothers teach us about foresight. She told me many times, make sure you wear clean underwear in case you have an accident. Have you heard that? The mothers do that, all right? That's what she said to me. Mothers teach us about logic. What I did, I remember whatever I learned, my mother said, and I wrote down what she taught me. Mothers teach us about logic. If you fall out of the tree, she said, and break your neck, don't come crying to me. That sounds familiar, don't it? All right? Mothers teach us about maturity. Eat your vegetables or you will never grow up. All right, she said. I have a hard time for that one. Mothers teach us about religion. You better pray that the thing you did on the floor comes out, she said. Mother teach us about contradiction. Many times she told me, shut your mouth and eat your dinner. How you do that? But that's what mother did, is shut your mouth and eat your dinner, all right? It's very personal, all right? Mother teach us about contortionism. She many times she told me, will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? That's what mother said. All right. Mother teaches about perseverance. She said, you are going to sit here until you eat every last piece of that broccoli. You maybe heard that. All right. And mother teaches about genetics. Many times she told me, you are just like your father. You remember that. And mother teaches about the weather. She came to my room and she said, it looks like a tornado swept through your room. And so on. All right. You maybe have more to remember about your mother. But I thought I wanted to share that with you, what I remember, the little excerpts of my life about my mother. Each time she did something, I just, you know me, I carry little papers and I write down things that later on I put together. Now, mother, it is a scriptural thing. It's not just an invention. So turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 20. And we're going to look there a few things that are actually 5-point sermon. Hopefully I made it in time for the radio broadcast. So this morning we have read a scripture which frequently used to illustrate seemingly negative things, and rightly so, the mother Salome. A first look at the reading our brother did in Matthew 20, looks like the story of a mother trying to whistle her boys into the best seat in the house of God. You know, she said, will you put my two sons right in the front, please, in the best place? That's what looks like it. I simply say here the kingdom, because she did not say the kingdom of God, she said the kingdom. And the reason is the Jewish people were sick and tired of the Roman Empire and did not recognize Jesus yet by the Holy Spirit, did not recognize Jesus the Messiah, and so they thought that Jesus would be a greatest king to have. And so in verse 20, she said, they came to him, the mother of Zebedee, children of her son, worshiping him. And verse 21 said that she said to him, grant that these two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left hand, on the kingdom. The Bible, when talks about the kingdom of God, said the kingdom of God. But here said the kingdom. That means on the established Judeo-powerful kingdom. She won a physical kingdom, and she won the best for the two sons. Now, let us consider 5 lessons we can learn from Salome. That was her name, Salome, the mother of James and John, and 5 important lessons. Now, I look to her as a psychologist will look at it. I look on it, and I took away my negative thoughts about her trying to get their sons ahead of the others and so on. And I said, now, what really this mother is doing so the mothers can learn all over the world? And there is beautiful 5 lessons that you can learn on it. First lesson, the approach to Jesus. Verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee. There are several lessons we can see in this. First, she obviously knew that to get the best life, or to get the best that life has to offer, Jesus was the one to see. So she made a point to come to him. See, sometimes mothers have little children, and they said, well, what will be the best for my son? What university will be the best? What work will be the best? But look what Salome did. The best, if I want the best of the best for my sons, I bring them to Jesus. That is the lesson, you know. She obviously knew that Jesus was the answer. It is good to worry about what university you're going to study, what profession you're going to study. It was enjoyable yesterday to share my life with people from Switzerland and ask the young people what they're doing, what they study, what is in their country. And you learn fascinating things about other country. But you know, this mother has something in mind, and she said, I want to approach Jesus about my children. Secondly, I want you to see that she brought her children to the feet of Jesus. Verse 20 said, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. With her sons. In other words, perhaps one of the outstanding positive lessons we can learn from such a questionable story is the importance of having our offspring with us when we approach God. I thought how beautiful it would be if your children see you praying, mothers. How beautiful it would be if for some reason you are praying and your child breaks the room and see a mother praying. Would it be not remarkable? I think about these, her kids were growing up. They were not just little boys. Whether or not her motives were pure, I have not that in consideration. I have in consideration one thing, that her mother brought them to Jesus. I think that's remarkable. She bring herself, her kids, and her request to Jesus. Mother, that is great. Mothers, that's what you need to do, whether they are 2 years old or 30 years old like these boys. You bring them to Jesus. That's important. The Bible tells us to bring our needs, our families, and all our wants, even our wants, to Jesus. The message of Jesus is always the same. Look at here in Matthew 11, verse 28. You will see the message of Jesus. It's always the same. When you come to Jesus, look at what he says. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and in verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what Jesus said. Always the same. Come unto me. Never be afraid to come to Jesus. Come unto me, said the Lord Jesus. So we saw here the approach to Jesus. Now, there are many people approaching Jesus. When somebody approached me, I labeled immediately in my head. I can't forget, I'm a psychologist. I labeled three things the person is talking to me. First, how the person dressed. Second, what the person said. And thirdly, what the person wants. You know, that's very important. Psychologist, you know, he looked to you in the office like he's charging you, so he's looking to you like that. But just so I can help it. So let's see the act. This is called, in grammar, the attitude. You know, the attitude. One time I talked to a lawyer. I know we have a lawyer here, but I talked to a lawyer, and he was very careful. He was talking to a psychologist. So I said to the lawyer, what do you want to know? And then he told me, what do you want to say? You know, we both were exercising our studies. But here it is. What is the attitude? Okay, verse 20. Look at in verse 20, right there in verse 20. It's loaded, that verse. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him. You got it? Worshiping him. Now, it's interesting. The word worship is a very interesting word. It's called proskuneo. Pros means the profile of a person. Kuneo means to nail down. And so she nailed down before the profile of Jesus. Jesus was so important that she nailed down before Jesus. Can you imagine these two big guys, John and James over there, now big boys, and the mother is going to see Jesus, and she nailed down worshiping, which is very important in the Hebrew culture, worshiping Jesus. She taught her adult boys how to show respect to the Lord Jesus. You know, we the men here on Wednesday night, we nail down in this room and pray on Wednesday night. You don't have to nail down. We'll show you how your body flex, all right? But it's good because you show The Bible doesn't say you have to pray kneel down. But when you kneel down, you show respect. You show that the other person is important. This is a far different display of attitude that seems to be the norm today. When you talk about Jesus in different places, they said, and who is him? And what he wants? Somehow the respect for Jesus seems to be almost lost in our country. Even among believers, do we truly feel the need to kneel down before him? When I tell people they share a problem or they share something in their life with me, I say, well, let's bring that to the Lord. Is that the only thing we're going to do? Now, listen, people, did the Lord answer some prayers in your life? When the Lord answers some prayers in your life, you got a big difference in your attitude. So her attitude was a humble attitude, an attitude of adoration, an attitude of respect. Now, verse 21, the appeal to Jesus. Look at verse 21. And she said, and he said unto her, what will thou? All right? Verse 21 give us several visuals which we need to take to our heart. First, notice that when she comes to Jesus in the right way and in the right attitude, he asks her, can I help you? When you come to Jesus and you say, and who is he? And prove me this and prove me the other. The Lord is laughing and is not going to prove you anything. The Holy Spirit is not going to work on you. But when you're humble, the Holy Spirit of God will do work in you. And Jesus is ready to grant to you, even if you don't open your mouth, and ready to do it for you. I just love it. I just love it. At first thing, Jesus said, what do you want? That's what he said here. He said, what will thou? What do you want? Think about how wonderful this is. The Son of God, the Messiah, the deliverer, the sacrifice of our sins, he is concerned about our wants. I really like the King James here. All the Bible has other translations. But in verse 21, the King James said, what wilt thou? Which means, what is your want? Wow. It's not what is your need. I have need for food. I have need for work. By the way, we all praise the Lord that Brother Veloz got a job. 1 year, 2 months, how many days, brother? 9 days. And that looks very healthy to me. That is fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you, Lord. So here it is. Think about how wonderful is all of this. Think about how wonderful is the Son of God is just offered to you his help. To me, this is nothing shy of amazing. The God the Father in the person of God the Son, he's saying to me, can I help you? You know, people said, you're very optimistic. Well, I have the Son of God with me. You know what I find out? People do not believe. Now, if you don't pray, you don't believe. And I pray the Holy Spirit will really touch your life, that whatever that you will move to pray those impossible things in your life, because God is in business to say, what do you want to? To this mother who wants to sneak the boys on the top of the list, Jesus said, what do you want to? It's amazing to me. Amazing. Here's the point. He didn't have to ask her because in his divinity, he knew what the request would be. Yet, he asked. You notice that? Jesus is God. He doesn't have to ask you, what do you want? He knows. John 2:25 said, he do not commit to man because he knew what was in the hearts of man. In his divinity. But he asked. It's just fantastic. What a great reminder that when we come to Jesus, he's interested in our needs and our wants and desires. Additionally, he wants us to tell him our heart. I don't like when people pray and say, Lord, you know what I need. No, sir, tell him. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need the other. Lord, and I really would like to have this. See, I prayed a long time ago with Brother Russ. Lord, we want a church that is a family. You know, it took 20 years to get a church that is a family. And God granted. God desired for us to be transparent with him. This man perhaps was attempting to make sure these boys will be taken care after she and daddy pass away. But she was transparent with the Lord. She was open. See, here is a lesson. What I attempt to hide from God, I am really hiding from me, from myself. And on the other side of the equation, when I come clean with God, I am clean with me. So don't try to hide anything from God, because you are hiding things from yourself. This mother was transparent with the Lord. What an attitude mothers to have, transparent with the Lord. Right? Number four, the awareness about Jesus is right there in verse 22. Look at that in Matthew 20, verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. All right, let's look into this. When Jesus speaks in verse 22, there is one thing you notice. Mama is listening. You notice that? Mama is not interrupting. Jesus is giving a lecture of theology to her, and she is listening. Could it be that maybe for the first time she realized the seriousness of her boys walking with Christ? Maybe this is the first time that she heard that in order to walk with Jesus, we need to be experiencing what Jesus had experienced. It's not just joining a church. It's not being in a club of Christian fellowship. It's different. Jesus said, if the boy wants to be with me, they have to die with me. What? Can you imagine the news, what shaking was? Maybe for the first time, she caught on to the cost as she was looking into the eyes of the Lord and heard that those seats require an ultimate commitment. There was not an association, a membership, walking in churches, I'd like to be a member. There was nothing like that. There was a commitment to the life of Christ. Wow. Perhaps when she heard his words, she wished she could take back her request. When she said, well, your boys need to die with me. Do you know what you want? People say, well, I raised my hand, I'm a Christian. I don't believe in easy Christianity. You know that? This is not a club, ladies and gentlemen. There are many clubs here in Morning Hill and across America. This is not a club. You don't join the club by raising your hand. If you did, you're on the wrong track. This is what Jesus is saying. She said, well, put them in the kingdom. You know, give them a place. No, this is not, Christianity is not like that, ladies and gentlemen. No. Think about this conversation. Jesus said, you don't know what you are asking and how difficult this journey will be, ma'am. And what mom said? Nothing. She was silent. I like that. That's the wisdom of a mother. You know, I went to my mother's many times, and I talk. She never said anything until I stopped. What a wise person is a mother. My grandmother had third grade education, and she promised to teach me the Bible with people. And we go to the store in the flea market, and we're going to buy sugar. Over there, everything is loose, so buy sugar. The guy said, 1 kilo of sugar. That's 2 pounds, 1 kilo of sugar. And she said, turn around. Then, you know, 1 kilo has 1,000 grams, all right? So the guy said, oh, here's Doña Teresa, here it is. And she said, will you put it again? And there was only 900 grams. It means 100. And she said, oh, if you know Jesus. And she gave a lecture, and the guy was red as can be, you know. And I was watching. You think I forgot? No, I'm 74. I'm talking about 70 years ago. I never forgot. And she said, see, when we are sinners, she talked to me, not to the man. When we are sinners, we cheat people. But when we are no sinners, so, boy, don't cheat anybody. And the guy was nervous. Here it is. And he says, oh, I'm going to give you a present, Doña Teresa. And she gave something and said, this, take it home. Well, don't cheat. They don't know. Doña Teresa, go. You know, there are people listening. That's why this mother is silent. What a great lesson. Mama wants something good. The boys, you know, your mother wants the best for you. Young people, your mother wants the best for you. But sometimes she's silent. When I close my eyes and see this picture, I see a mom who was attempting to get a comfortable job for the boys and found herself in an amazement of what she had done. Perhaps when Jesus turned to the boys and asked, are you up to the job? Are you qualifying? You remember what the boys said? Look at again in that verse 22. They say at the end, they say unto him, we are able. So it seems to me the writing is not too clear, but it seems to me in Hebrew, you can say one thing and switch to say the other in the same paragraph. And it seems that's what happened. And so Jesus is talking to the mama, and then he's saying to the boys, are you able? And the boys say, yes, we are able. I wonder how many times people think they know what it means to follow Jesus. And then through God's word and the Holy Spirit, they become aware that what they thought was not entirely accurate. Some people think that following Jesus is only about one-time decision that is made and left at the altar. Others think it is only about being baptized. Oh, if the pastor baptized me, I become a Christian. The Catholic Church has done this. The Reformed Church, the Protestant Church have done this. I had to baptize the baby to Christianize the baby. You know, and Jesus said, it is more. You need to take the pain of death in your heart. You need to be led by the Spirit of God and shake it all over until you realize that Christ died for your sin. You are not a piece of bones only. You are not having a mind only. You have a spirit, and that spirit is dead, and Christ has to come and shake you, and you need to realize that he died for you, and now you're alive again. You know, that doesn't come by reading a book. That comes by the Holy Spirit of God touching your life. And so making a decision in the front, being baptized, that's not Christianity. That's a fake of Christianity. That's what we have. Christian churches that are fakes. Christianity is when a person has seen herself as a sinner, impossible to meet a holy God, and then has seen the bridge, Jesus, the great Messiah of Israel. Number five, the acceptance of Jesus. That is in verse 23. Look at verse 23. The Bible is so rich that hardly two or three verses allow you for an hour. Here it is, verse 23. And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand, And on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given unto them for whom it is prepared for my Father. In other words, the kingdom of God is an orderly kingdom. Everybody functions in the proper matter. And so the acceptance of Jesus, as we have read verse 23, and get the divine design for the kingdom, God the Father is the one who determined and assigned. We know this one important thing. Mom didn't argue, discuss, or try to debate with the Lord Jesus. She accepted the words of Jesus as truth. Mother, this is exactly what is required. That when you look in the Bible, do not argue about the Bible. When you look in the Word of God, you accept it as it is, regardless how painful they are. It's just amazing. Amazing. What a legacy. She listened to those things and said, yes, this boy is going to do, because Jesus knew they're going to believe. That's why. Jesus knew that these boys, after the cross, there was granted the gift to believe. She knew. So he said, yeah, this boy is going to do it. It's just amazing. And she's quiet. To have a face to face with the Lord of glory is to walk away a changed person. And sometimes that happened to me. I do a sermon, and I'll tell you a secret. Sometimes I do, and I'm praying, I'm crying, praying. I'm nuts? No, I'm not nuts. The Spirit of God has touched my life and controlled me so much, I had to stop for a minute to see the greatness and in the power of God. Well, the Scripture doesn't track in detail the wife of Zebedee, the mother of James and John, I want you to see with me Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. And look who you see over there. All right? Mark chapter 16. Jesus is dead. They killed Jesus. And who went to the tomb to see Jesus? Look at Mark 16 verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome have bought sweet spices. Salome is at the tomb. She believer. When the potatoes were hot, when the Roman people were watching and the Jew were watching, what is going to happen to this Jesus? Here is Salome going. She's careless about what people will do. She's right there at the tomb with Jesus. No, amazing? For me, it's conclusive that her encounter with Jesus led her to the acceptance of Jesus. See, even though God does all the work through the Holy Spirit, even though God does all the making you confronting Him, you need to believe. Nobody got to heaven and said, oh yeah, I knew the Bible and I knew the doctrines and so on. Nobody got to heaven for that. Remember the jail man said, what can I do to be saved? In Acts 16, verse 30. 31 said, believe in the Lord Jesus. Now I tell you, of all a mother can do, giving her life totally, and completed to our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the greatest impact that you can have in your life, mothers. In your life. Recently, we have a memorial service here in church, a luncheon, and I have to preach in a cemetery of a lady I didn't know, but I know Jeannie. And the words that came from her husband and from the mother said that she, at the last moment, she believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy gave to me to do that memorial greetings. Of all the efforts and all the teachings that Jeannie had done to that lady, works. Because the glory of a child is not to have a doctor degree. The glory of a child is to have Jesus in their life. That's the glory. imam sold out to the Lord Jesus is a man who will display a life that demonstrates everything good and right. Because of this, she will instill in her children a need to love the Lord, to walk in His way and fulfill His calling. I thought that here are the results of children who come from mothers who are Christian. They seek to discover Jesus and see what the mother believed. Number two, they find purpose for their life. I'm not living for myself. I'm living for Jesus. And number three, they know how to make good decisions because they fear the Lord. So mothers, what would be the best text for these young mothers and mothers? It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, and I want to change a word, and that's no official, and that is no Greek, it's me, but I want to change a word in the text. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. The Bible said, moreover, it is required of stewards, I want to change that word steward for moms, it is required of moms that they be found faithful. And that faithful is not that you moms are lawyers or that you moms are doctors, it is that you moms are like Salome. The reason you have your motherhood is that you take your children and you bring them to Jesus. Do you think I like to go to church at 12, 13, 11, and 14? I don't know how many swaps I get in my head before going into church. But my mother, the church was 5 blocks from my house, and I remember my mother grabbed my hand and said, you have to come. But daddy said, my daddy was an unbeliever. My daddy said, I can stay home. Zoom. Or, my daddy wrote, boom. By the time I got into the church, I was red in my face. In those times, the police had nothing to do with you. I thank my mother. Now, some of you don't have to do that, but I was a rebellious child. I want to be myself. I'm intelligent enough to know things. I don't need anybody else. And my mother told me, you need Jesus. My aunt told me, you need Jesus. My grandmother told me, you need Jesus. I said, when are they going to stop that? I'm glad they didn't. I'm glad they didn't. Because I will be terrible today. Maybe in jail or something. I'm glad they did it. You know, I have a passion for politics. I was elected senator at the age of 28 in my country. At the age of 22 in my country, and it's illegal. And the people said, well, we fixed your birthday. We like you. You know how to talk. And our party needs you. It was Peronista Party. I'm glad that my mother and my brother-in-law, they shake me all over. And they say, you have a better job for you. Look to Christ. Never dreamed that I'd be a pastor. Never dreamed. So my friend, mothers, it is a job for you. It is required that moms be found faithful. And the only thing you have to do is to take your children to Christ and show in your life Christ. Leave the rest of the story to God. I am sure that when all is done, that child will come into the kingdom of God. Let us pray. God, our Creator, we pray for new mothers coming to terms with a new responsibility, for expectant mothers wandering and waiting, for those who are tired, stressed, or depressed, for those who struggle to balance the task of work and family, for those who are unable to feed their children due to poverty, for those whose children have physical, mental, or emotional disabilities, for those who have children they do not want, for those who raise children on their own, for those who have lost a child, for those who care for the children of others, for those whose children have left home, and for those whose desires to be a mother had not been fulfilled. Lord, bless all mothers that their love may be deep and tender, and that they may leave their children to know and to do what is good. living not for themselves alone, but for God, for Jesus, and for others. In Jesus we pray, amen.
Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can see. Angels are watching, I can feel it. Angels are watching over me. There's many miles ahead till I get home. Still I'm safely kept before your throne, 'cause Lord, down on her knees. Lord, I thank you for my mother praying all this time for me. Somebody's praying, me from what I can see. Lord, I know. Lord, I know. My mother is praying for me. My mother is praying for me.
It's our duty as mothers to pray for our children.
Thank you, Ms. Noriel, and we are delighted. Will you stand, please, for the benediction? Lord, we honor mothers today, and we saw in Salome the simplicity of a mother who knew what many mothers do not know. She had an encounter with Jesus, heart to heart. And that encounter changed her life. Lord, I pray that each mother here, or mother-to-be, knows you as the Savior and as the leader of their heart. And we pray that she will share the life of Jesus like Salome did with her children. And when that is done, she will see the fruit of her work. I'm thinking, my grandmother is smiling. How many times I told her, Lord, this is for all people. Now I'm an old man, and I know you because of her prayers. May this be the spirit of every mother. In Jesus we pray. Amen.